Welcome to Fresh Research, a podcast from the nonprofit Times. We explore some of the most interesting and sometimes provocative findings focused on the world of nonprofits. Thanks for tuning in. Here at the nonprofit Times, we see tons of great fresh research. So in each episode, we take a recent study or survey and have a conversation with the authors about what they found and why they think it's important for charities. We'll also give away some books and give you access to other valuable information from the nonprofit Times.
If you're someone who's critical of nonprofits spending on things other than programs or high salaries for charity executives, you may want to cover your ears. The United States Tennis Association Mid-Atlantic section last year instituted a concierge service for its employees. It's not about scoring reservations at the trendy new restaurant or tickets to a sold-out show. It's more about getting tedious or mundane tasks off the plates of employees so they can focus on their jobs. Hi, I'm Mark Rivna for the Nonprofit Times, and today we'll talk about our 2022 Best Nonprofits to Work For special report. Tara Fitzpatrick Navarro is president and CEO of the USTA Mid-Atlantic section in Herndon, Virginia. She joins me to explain the concierge service, as well as other programs and benefits that they provide that made them the number one best nonprofit to work for the second consecutive year. The Best Nonprofits to Work For is an annual survey by the Nonprofit Times in partnership with Best Companies Group. Organizations register to participate and go through a battery of surveys. Those results are then scored across 8 different categories, and ultimately, 50 nonprofits make the cut. You can find more details and the full report in the April print edition of the Nonprofit Times. And now, here's my conversation with Tara Fitzpatrick Navarro, President and CEO of the USTA Mid-Atlantic section.
First, congratulations on making the list again. And I'm trying something a little bit new this year. We're recording this about a month before the report comes out. So I'm trying to do more of a, how shall I say, a big reveal for the podcast. So congratulations again, not only for making the list, but also being number one among the top 50 for best nonprofits this year to the USTA.
Really?
Second year in a row. That's right.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's exciting. Thank you.
Good. I'm glad. I like the reaction. It's going to work really well for the podcast, I think. What struck me last year so much, really, when I was talking to the organization, was really right out of the blue. I recall you sent care packages and handwritten notes to your employees last year, and you didn't do the same thing this year. But I see in your survey results and some of the answers, you're still doing things like welcome packages for new hires, staff appreciation, which a lot of organizations do. But tell me about this year. You also did for Thanksgiving a special surprise.
Yeah, we got everyone a pie delivered to their house for Thanksgiving from a bakery located near us. Wanted to support a local bakery, but also wanted to just sort of celebrate our staff in a new and different way. And boy, people were really excited about pie.
Yeah, who doesn't love pie? Did everyone get, just out of curiosity, did everyone get the same pie or was it random?
Yes, everybody got an apple pie.
That makes sense for Thanksgiving.
Classic apple pie. And frankly, it was delicious.
So tell me a little bit more about, you do that throughout the year, staff appreciation, you know.
Yeah, surprise and
cards,
delight.
Lunch cards, gift cards, birthday recognition, anniversary, which is both those things. Anniversaries and birthdays are pretty typical for our best nonprofits recognizing those things. But some of these other items that you do will go a little bit more beyond that. Tell me a little bit about what the reaction is and how you organize that, prepare for it.
Yeah, so I call them our surprise and delight. I try to do them fairly regularly, maybe 3 to 4 times a year, depending upon budget. Sometimes they're really small. Sometimes it's like, hey, we're having an early morning all staff meeting. We've emailed everybody a $10 Starbucks gift card. Go get your coffee before we start. We've done lunch meetings where we've sent everybody a Grubhub gift card and said, everybody order something for lunch. Last summer is obviously a very, very busy season for tennis. And we have event after event and our staff work a lot of nights and weekends. And we wanted to encourage our staff to take vacation time. And so we did a summer surprise gift, which was a towel and a hat and a really nice speaker. And, you know, I wrote a note and encouraged everybody to make sure they took care of themselves this summer during our busy time and that they took advantage of their benefits and took some vacation. So all kinds of different things.
What's the kind of reaction that you get, or do you get any kind of reaction or feedback on something like that? Something simple, like you mentioned, it sounds like you guys are big into swag and yes. Also personal notes. Do you ever get a response from employees, and what's that like?
I get a response from employees almost every single time. I've had people take pictures of themselves using the items. Like when they were at the beach, they took a picture of themselves with their new towel. Or like their kids, I got one where their kids were jamming out with the speaker.
That's great.
Yeah. So, and then just, you know, just generic thank yous. It's interesting how far the handwritten notes go. I've had employees tell me that they have kept those. I've done them every year. And they've kept those the entire time. And wow. Sometimes pull them out. Like if they're having a rough day mm-hmm. or they need mm-hmm. to pick me up, they'll pull out their, and people have sent me pictures of the note that I wrote them 5 years ago and wow. said, this is really, really helped me today. So glad I still have this.
That's so interesting.
So, but I mean, I personalize each and every one of them. They're about mm-hmm. that person, their contributions, what they're doing.
That's really interesting. That's paying off, dividends years later, people holding it for 5 years. And then I can totally see how, you know, you pull it out of your drawer when you're having a bad day and kind of reinvigorate. That's really stealth, very, very interesting. Really, I think that's a great idea. That's really interesting. Tell me about some of the new policies or procedures that the organization has implemented because of staff feedback. You mentioned in your survey results, you evaluated benefits and programs. Mm-hmm. Based on employee feedback. So what were some of the recent changes that you made and why?
So we increased our bereavement leave for employees. We've had, sadly, several employees who've lost parents and found that they needed a longer time period and didn't need to have to worry about anything. And they obviously had generous PTO, but we didn't even want them to have to touch that. So we upped that to 3 weeks. We added pet bereavement, which was a new one when people lost their beloved pet and needed to have a couple of days to mourn and grieve and take care of that. We added parental leave, which we hadn't had before. So now all new parents get a minimum of 6 weeks. We added a tuition reimbursement program for college level classes. And our biggest change was we went to a flexible PTO policy. So no minimums, no maximums, as long as you request it and you're getting your job done, take as much time as you need to do whatever you need.
You called it flexible PTO. It mm-hmm. sounds like unlimited PTO.
Some people call it unlimited.
Right.
I wanted to call it unlimited. The lawyers wouldn't let me.
That's interesting because that's actually several of our best nonprofits over the years have unlimited PTO. And the first question is always, you know, how do you rein that in? When does anyone come into work? Is usually the impression that you expect, but that's not what happens, does it?
No, not at all. And one of the things we found was that we were already working within this context of flexible PTO. So for example, if people had worked a weekend, we were always saying, take whatever day off you need and don't worry about it over and over and over again. Or something was going on in their life and they needed to take time off, do as much as you need. And so we thought, why do we have this arbitrary cap on PTO when we don't do that? It's just sort of a written policy that we never actually paid any attention to. And so let's change the policy to be more meaningful and tied to what it is that we want to achieve as a culture.
Stick around for more about employee growth and professional development and what else USTA Mid-Atlantic does that employees appreciate so much.
If you like what you're hearing, share it with friends and colleagues on social media. Use the hashtag FreshResearch or retweet the Nonprofit Times link, and you'll be eligible to win a book from the NPT Library. Another way for folks to find the show, rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. For more than 30 years, the Nonprofit Times has been the leading business publication for nonprofit management. To subscribe, visit shopthenonprofittimes.com. You'll also find special issue coverage, relevant research like our salary and benefits report, and best nonprofits to work for, plus other special reports and webinars. And keep up with the latest breaking news and in-depth reporting at thenonprofittimes.com.
Now back to Tara Fitzpatrick Navarro, President and CEO of the USTA Mid-Atlantic Section, the 2022 Best Nonprofit to Work For.
Another interesting thing that I see USTA Mid-Atlantic does is a concierge service.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you hear about, I often get calls or emails about nonprofits and high pay or overcompensated or some criticisms of nonprofits. And when I see concierge service, I think to myself, oh, I can only imagine the responses that I would get from people if I told them a nonprofit had a concierge service. But tell me about that. In your survey results, it makes sense. But basically, it's an employer who coordinates different services for mm-hmm. for the employees. And what is that new? And how did that come up?
Yep, that's new. It was... We've been looking for it for a couple of years, trying to find the right provider, because employees were saying, you know, I'm having a hard time finding time to do research on a plumber to come and fix my leak, or I'm overwhelmed. Like I had mentioned, we had some people who lost their parents. I'm overwhelmed with dealing with the financial aspect of, you know, selling their house or closing their accounts down, or I don't understand, I have to have a major medical procedure and I don't understand how the health insurance works. So the concierge does all of that and more. So we had one employee who lost their child's social security card, and the concierge helped them navigate the whole process of how to get that redone, helped them find all the paperwork, gave them all of the directions. And so that was just one thing that person didn't have to go and research on their own. Mm-hmm. We had another person who was being charged incorrectly for a copay, and they called, and the concierge navigated that whole system, found all the paperwork so that person didn't have to go and do that research on their own to dispute the charges. So it's just this additional step of trying to make everything in your life work through benefits that we provide you so that you can be your absolute best employee. And so you're not having to come in and, you know, call the Social Security office and sit on hold for 4 hours. You're having somebody else who can do that for you. You don't have to worry about it, put it out of your mind, and then pick it up so you can be the most productive, both personally and professionally. It's awesome.
It sounds awesome. What kind of selling point did you have to make to the board, or are there folks who say, concierge service at a nonprofit, what are you doing?
Nope.
Is that nothing in that sort?
Not at all. And look, I think I'm very fortunate that I have a board that recognizes how amazing our staff is and the accomplishments that we have. And if anything, they always want me to find more. What else could you do?
Mm-hmm. Interesting. You also made changes this year to medical plans. Was that based mm-hmm. off of employee feedback? And can you talk a little bit about why or how you change those?
Sure. We've always offered two plans, and we've always gotten great feedback from our employees about both plans. We actually didn't have any real reason to change them other than we went and shopped the marketplace. But one of the things that we're really committed to doing is leadership decisions that impact employees should be made by employees to the greatest extent possible. So as part of our benefits review, usually it's me and the HR person, and we go through the whole, you know, 50,000 spreadsheets. This year, we asked employees who would like to do that. And so two employees stepped up and went through the process, got to meet with the insurance broker, got to talk about the pros and cons. And in the end, recommended that we go ahead and, even though it might cost the employees a little bit more, the benefits were so much richer if we did a higher level plan. And so then we worked on the back end to try and keep those costs to a minimum for our employees. But the feedback has been overwhelming about just moving from what's considered a gold plan to a platinum plan has made employees' lives so much easier and better and less concerned about medical. And it was awesome because we had employee engagement in making that decision. Mm-hmm. And so they got to present to the staff about the new benefits and how they were involved in picking them out.
Among best nonprofits, often one of the trends over the years is salary and benefits. I mean, no big surprise. People like to get paid what they're worth and feel like they're paid well at what they do, regardless of whether they're a nonprofit or for-profit. And one of the things is always among the best nonprofits is not only salary, but also, or in addition to premiums, healthcare premiums, whatever kind of premiums, where the employer picks up a good chunk of it. What are the percentages like at USDA?
So if you pick a high deductible plan, we cover that 100%. If you pick a more premium PPO plan, we do an 80-20 split. And we do 80-20, whether it's the employee only or employee and their family, mostly because sometimes our business isn't the most family friendly. Working in sports and leisure is a lot of nights and weekends. And so we want to make sure that our benefits are as family friendly as possible.
What are the trends this year in particular among small organizations where the best nonprofits really separated themselves from the small organizations that didn't make our list was diversity in hiring, whether that was gender, vets, disabilities, really across the board, the small nonprofits were far and away ahead of the organizations that didn't make the list. Can you talk about maybe a little bit how you recruit or how you attract diverse candidates or diverse employees?
Sure. So justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion is a key part of what we've been working on in the last about 18 months. We've hired a consultant who's come in, done a full-scale audit of all of our internal policies, procedures, and practices, and made recommendations for improvement that resulted in us rewriting our entire employee handbook to be more employer-friendly and be more inclusive of diverse language. We reviewed all of our pay. So we always have done a market compensation study. We also did a pay equity analysis, taking into account things like gender, race, sexual orientation, education, experience, et cetera, and allocated money if we had needed to make any corrections. We were very fortunate we didn't, because we have a real comprehensive pay practice that's well documented and easy for us to implement without bias. But one of the big areas that we focused on was how do we ensure that our candidates are as diverse as possible. So our human resources staff has been working towards more job postings on specific sites that may target racial minority candidates, and then making sure that our process is inclusive of all kinds of people throughout the interview process, and that, you know, we hire the best person in the end. It meant that this year we went for 6 months without a marketing person because we couldn't find the person who would be best for us. And that's really hard for a small nonprofit to go 6 months without a staff person. But it's more important to our team that we find the right person than it is that we just get a warm body. And interestingly, we only got to hire 2 people last year, which is exciting because that's, you know, 10% of our staff almost.
Yeah.
Both of those people were racial minorities and they've been great additions to our team. And we just are really open to diversity of perspective and staff being included in sort of all aspects. So, you know, we obviously continue to have work to do, but we've put our staff through multiple trainings in regards to diversity, inclusion, justice, equity, et cetera. We don't have a ton of advancement opportunities being so small. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we just rolled out is an employee growth track program so that each employee is given an individual plan that they work out with human resources, their supervisor, and themselves, based off this idea that we want you to achieve whatever it is you want to achieve. And if that means more responsibility here, if that means more responsibility here so you can go somewhere else, we will do whatever it takes to give you the skills and tools necessary for that success.
Great segue into my next question, because I wanted to talk about professional development. You'd mentioned tuition reimbursement that started. Can you give me a sense of how much that is, or what the eligibility around it, and maybe also elaborate a little bit more on the employee growth track program? That sounds really interesting.
Yeah, tuition reimbursement, I think, is $5,000. There's not really much eligibility other than just demonstrate that it makes some sort of an impact in your job, which is not hard to do. And we've had one person take advantage of it thus far in our marketing department. She's going for a digital marketing master's, which is great for us and great for her. So we're happy to support that. We also give her a complete flexible work environment. So that's one of the other things we changed, is you decide when you work, you decide where you work. It's always been you decide how you work, but no such thing as 4 hours, just get your job done. And so for her, that meant going to school during the day, which has been helpful for her in managing, you know, a graduate degree. Every single employee is eligible for professional development. Every single employee gets a professional development goal that they create in their annual plan, whether that is, I want to learn a new software system, I want to engage on this event that we do that I've never worked before, or I want to take a formal course in leadership or management. It really runs the gamut. Very much designed individually, because we want our employees to have a learning orientation. And you can only do that if you really are doing something that you care about personally and have some intrinsic motivation for it. And then the employee growth track is this sort of step-by-step program that starts with a self-assessment where you identify some gaps in skills and also identify your sort of career objectives, gain feedback from others, and then work to develop a real comprehensive plan about matching where you are today with where you want to be in the future. So, you know, that's newer for us. So we're kind of at the self-assessment stage, and not every employee is interested. Some employees are like, I love my job. I don't want to grow. I don't want to change. You know, hey, for this year's plan, I want to work this special event that I've never gotten to work before for my professional development, but I don't want to go through the whole employee growth track program. And then others were like, absolutely, sign me up. I want more. I want to do more. I'm really excited and want an opportunity to be in charge of maybe a special project.
Mm-hmm. So it can be as simple or as complex as they want.
Absolutely.
You mentioned no such thing as core hours at the organization. And one of the things, again, one of the trends over the years at Best Nonprofits is communication and culture really separates for those nonprofits compared to the organizations that don't make it. When you don't have core hours, or no such thing as core hours, quote unquote, how do you keep up with that, having a team culture or an organizational culture, if folks aren't in the same place at the same time?
So we still do all hands meetings. We still do times where we bring everybody together. But instead of just saying it's going to be at 10 o'clock on a Tuesday, we send out a poll in advance and we provide 3 to 5 days and times and say, which ones work for you? And we try to find the time that works the best for everyone. And we're mindful when people say, I've got a big event this week. Could we not do it? Because I don't want to miss it. Or so-and-so is on vacation. And so this other person's going to cover for them. So it's being about sort of responsive to your employee needs so that you can still come together, but doing it within a time that fits within their life. And while we don't have 4 hours, still most people are available between 10 and 2 every weekday for whatever reason. I think it's why we end up having a lot of lunch meetings and sending out Grubhub gift cards.
A lot of this sounds, I don't want to say expensive, but my question is, how do you budget for all these little things? You mentioned Grubhub gift card. You mentioned, oh, we got a meeting, we have a Starbucks. You know, it's only a $10 card or whatnot, but it adds up. And then you also have, say, the concierge service and some other things. Is there a concern or a strain on the budget at times where you can't do certain things or you can't enact certain programs?
I have pretty much never said no to anything. Employees are the most important thing to the success of our business. And so if allocating resources there is going to make a difference in us achieving our mission and achieving our goals, we're going to allocate resources there. And so oftentimes we didn't budget for something. And then we say, if we don't do this, it's going to have a detrimental effect. That typically happens when we realize, ooh, we're asking too much of this person. Their workload is too high. It's not an appropriate balance. We need a whole other person to support them. We do it anyway. And we say, okay, where else can we cut so that we achieve all of our goals, make our customers happy, but, you know, maybe we get the $8 t-shirt instead of the $10 t-shirt. I mean, we're constantly making those kinds of choices. And yes, my HR person actually sits down and budgets in advance and says, I think Tara's probably going to want to do at least 4 lunches and 3 gifts, and they cost about this much, and I'm going to put it in there.
So for instance, like the concierge service you said is new. Mm-hmm. It sounds like the ROI on that for you is good enough.
Absolutely.
Like, what does that cost in the organization, and what are you getting out of it as an organization?
Okay, well, first of all, people think concierge services are really expensive. And some of them are, which is why it took us 2 years to find. We pay less than $5,000 a year for that service. And I know that 3 of our most highly compensated employees have used it and saved hours in their day. I can easily account for the fact that them not spending 4 hours on the phone with the Social Security office was well worth me spending that $5,000.
Well, great, Tara. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you so much. Take care.
That's our episode for today. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share the Fresh Research link on Twitter or Facebook to be eligible to win something from the NPT library. You can also share on social media with the hashtag Fresh Research. And if you like what you hear, please rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. This has been Fresh Research, a podcast from the Nonprofit Times, spotlighting research and trends in the philanthropic sector. Until next time, keep up with us at thenonprofittimes.com for all your nonprofit news.